This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Sargentsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, A Life Without God.
Well, good morning, everybody. I think I owe an apology to our home congregation. I made a call last night indicating that inclement weather would keep us from getting into church and was a safety issue. But it turned out it's a clear day. So much for that. So I apologize profusely. I'd rather be with you down at the church, and we'll be there soon. So please accept my apology, and good morning, everybody. Pray that you're well protected. We were talking to the group that carries our platform down in Dallas, and they've got practically below zero temperatures down there, and it's snowing. Kind of unusual for them. They're not used to it. And so we need to pray for their safety along with everybody else's. This morning we'll do a few announcements, not much, and then we'll go through our prayer requests and we'll pray through them. So there'll be a Circle of Servants, which is our leadership group, Monday night. I think that's at 7 o'clock. And then there'll be Bible study on Wednesday evening. We'll be in Revelation chapter 8, and it will be lesson 17. So we look forward to that. And I was just noticing over the last couple of days that so many TV evangelists and preachers are teaching on the book of Revelation. And it's got to be something from the Lord to tell us if we're all on that page. There must be a reason. I think the rapture, as we've always believed, is imminent, and it's just that's the way it is. So also we will go to our prayer request list, which is a growing list, and so I'm going to pray through it. It'll come a little bit more like a narrative because I want to pause with each person and say something dependent on the amount of information I've been given. So we'll go to prayer, and then we will go to the sermon of the morning, A Life Without God. Father God, we thank you this morning that you are alive. We thank you that Jesus is risen from the dead. We thank you for his unconditional love demonstrated by that crucifixion on the cross and that shed blood, blood shed for our forgiveness, blood shed for our salvation. And Father, we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that if we receive Christ as our Savior, there's the promise of heaven. We thank you, Lord, for that truth. And we thank you that you keep your promises to us. We thank you that when Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, he promised the Comforter would come and take his place. And that is the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is alive and living within each and every one of us who have put our faith in Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the Bible, which we're going to study from tonight and Wednesday night. And every time I have an opportunity to preach, we pray, Lord, that your word will become real to us this morning and speak to us at a place where each of us has a need this morning. And then, Father, you've told us the highest form of prayer after giving glory to you is to intercede one for another. And so this morning we would intercede for those who need your touch. And so this morning I would lift up the D'Amato family on the loss of our cousin John. But we thank you, Lord, that he knows Jesus and he's home with him right now. A praise this morning that my cousin Lou, John's brother, is improving, that he's sitting up in a chair, that he's just breathing with the aid of a little bit of oxygen, and that he's on his way to coming home. And I pray a blessing upon him today. And it's nothing short of a miracle, Lord, in the family's mind. Pray for Ruth Schneider, Lord, you continue to help her through a time of grief over the loss of Robert. Again, another believer home. And Sue Angelo this morning is not going to have any surgery to reduce her pain at this time. More tests need to be taken. And a thanks to her sister Rosie for being really a wonderful angel to Sue, taking her to doctor's appointments and being just a good, strong right arm. Pray for my mom, who, in addition to the pain she's had, which is dissipating, also grieves for the loss of cousin John. Now, I'll be with Arnie this morning in Florida, as he continues to work through the loss of Joyce, and for his friend Trish, who's still in the hospital, but she's improving. We thank you, Lord, that Karen Harkle wrote us home doing well after her surgery, and that her mom, Inez, is doing well. Continue to lift up Terry DeSalvio. Continue to lift up Grace and Scott and Steve. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to work in their life and with their issues, their medical issues. And we pray for Lucy and George this morning with the issues that they have, medical issues. Pray for Rick as he continues to be tested and recommended therapies and so forth for his issues. Be with Sam Paul Acelli, Lord. We think his back is improving, and we thank you for that, Lord. Pray for Lisa, who's home, improving from this foot and leg infection. Pray for Tiffany, who's at home, being rehabilitated for her back. Be with the mom, Jim and Nancy, Lord. Be with Cindy Cascarno as she continues to improve. John, whose pancreatic cancer is going to be treated. We just pray that treatment will lead to healing. For Dave Carlin, new to our prayer list, who's having minor heart procedure in the days ahead. Pray for Maria Bradford's nephew, Raul, who needs a kidney transplant. We pray for Butch and Linda. Butch had a very hard day yesterday. We pray, Father, that your hand of comfort is upon him and encouragement, and that would be a better day today, and for Linda, too. Pray for Robin Pierman with cancer. Lord, bless her and encourage her. Pray for Lois, Jane's sister, who has medical issues. For David Lee with his arthritic pain. For Maria Ferrello, who's on active duty. For Carolyn, who's in Country Arch, a nursing home. For Tatiana in Florida, Lord, as she witnesses, we pray that many will come to know Christ as Savior. And then, Father, for unspoken requests, the things we can't articulate, but you know all about it. And I pray, Lord, that you would meet us at the point of our need, each and every one. Lord, we need to feel your presence. We need to feel your compassion. We need to feel your love, Lord. These are difficult times for so many. And we wonder how people who don't have faith in Christ ever make it through such times. But we thank you, Lord, that Jesus lives in our heart. And we thank you for his presence. Now bless us, Lord, as we go to the word. Open our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. The Christian writer Will Durant has made the following statement. The greatest question of our time is whether humanity can bear to live without God. As I said in my prayer, and as you probably said on many occasions when you've gone through some difficult times, I don't know how anybody makes it without the Lord. I still know that. I don't know how people do it. Polls consistently report that 80% of Americans believe in God, and about 80% claim to be Christians. The country doesn't feel like that. But the true Christian faith requires more than saying, I'm a Christian. Genuine, authentic Christian faith says so and then lives so. Psalm 107, verse 2, the first part of the verse says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're not supposed to be quiet, and we're not supposed to be secret agents. We're supposed to be fully expose the people with our faith so they can see the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. Now, Galatians 5:25 kind of marries up to that, and it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So that marrying of those verses together is a reminder to us that we must live and walk the talk. The person who has put faith in Christ and endeavors with God's help to live out his or her faith has answered the question Will Durant asked by saying, I can't live without the Lord. You know, one of the biggest obstacles to people coming to Christ are believers, because a lot of times they don't see our faith. They don't see us living out. We sound just like everybody else. We think just like everybody else. We have the same values as everybody else. Nothing kind of distinguishes us from being from those who are not believers. 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote these words in Philippians 1:21. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For Paul, Christ had become the center of his being. Paul, who had achieved fame and power and influence, discovered life without Christ as empty. And life without the Holy Spirit living within can be a lonely existence. And in a fast-paced materialistic society, it would be good to remember the Catholic thinker Thomas Aquinas' words, because they still ring true. He said, God alone satisfies. And why is that? Bill Gates, the self-made successful business person, will come over time to learn business success alone can't satisfy. Pick any celebrity, the famous movie stars, find over time that fame alone can't satisfy. And the latest billionaires alone come to the place where they realize that money alone cannot satisfy. And politicians come to realize over time power and influence and authority and position alone cannot satisfy. They are all poor substitutes with a sense of purpose and meaning which only God can provide. We can search a lifetime for things to fill the void in life. God alone can fill only. To discover almost nothing lives up to our expectations. And that's why we twist and turn our way up the corporate ladder, putting in hundreds of hours of overtime, texting, answering the cell phone at 9 p.m., hitting the computer, answering emails until midnight, only to find ourselves on a layoff list 6 months down the road and wondering what happened. Sometimes that doesn't happen, or we get passed by for a promotion, or we get a bad evaluation or approval, a bad evaluation sometimes. You sit and scratch your head and ask yourself, why did I work so hard? What was all this for? Few and far between are the individuals who are strong enough to bear the duties and pressures of today and the anxieties and disappointments of tomorrow piled up on top of them. In 2008, the media world came face to face with its own mortality when NBC's best newsman, a guy you might remember if you've been around a while, Tim Russert died at 58. Some people speculated he worked himself to death. NBC put him everywhere because of his knowledge of politics and his ability to connect with viewers. But he was notable among his peers because his life was not defined by his work alone. That's pretty rare. He was a devout husband, a father, and a man of faith. But make no mistake, immediately upon his death, there were people vying for his job. That's how it is. It's a dog-eat-dog world, as people say. Anchorman Tim Brokaw said Tom Brokaw said at Tim's funeral, quote, the biggest contingencies of people present here today are the people who want to take Tim's place. How does that feel? Many years ago, singer-songwriter Peggy Lee had a hit song titled, Is That All There Is? The song was about the things that as a young child she eagerly looked forward to, like a trip to the zoo, trip to the circus, but when she finally went to those fun things, she was disappointed. Upon reflection, she asked, is that all there is? Kids can spend dozens of hours playing the latest computer games, but sooner than later, they will tell you they're bored. That's a very, very big word these days. I'm bored, because nothing external can bring internal, deep-seated, long-lasting satisfaction. In contrast, think of this. John 10:10 says, Jesus, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Nobody knows what you need in this life better than the one who made you. God knows life is too complicated, too fragile, and too messy to go it alone. He never intended you to face life's ups and downs, joys and sorrows, achievements and disappointments alone. It was never God's intention that we would be alone. How far back does that go? All the way to the first human being. God's first observation of his newly minted human creation is recorded in Genesis 2:18. And it says this, and the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. Somebody to meet him at his points of joy and sorrow and need. Somebody to compliment him. And he created Eve. Adam, think of this. He's the first man. He had everything he needed to sustain life. He was living in a garden. It was the definition of perfection. But God wanted more for humanity than just living and just surviving. Adam had God all to himself. But think about this. God himself said that wasn't enough. Wow, what a privileged position to be in. People often say, if I only could see Jesus, if I only could have walked the road with Jesus. Many people listened to Jesus, and the Bible said some believed and some didn't, some rejected, some accepted. Imagine being in a place where you have God completely yourself. God said, that's not enough for the way I made you. It's not enough for a man to have an abundant life, the fullest life and the fullness of life. And so God designed us not to be soloists, but part of a duet. In God's economy, the perfect balance in life is a trio. God first, others second, ourselves last. Our attempt to live for ourselves is futile and empty. Our attempt to live without God is supremely futile and empty. In our struggle to live without God, we replace the real thing with hollow substitutes. In the 21st century, our substitute for God, and you can ask a lot of college and high school kids this, God's been replaced by technology in their mind. The great secular minds of our time point to technology as our savior. Cambridge University a while back held a symposium on the topic, quote, is man determined or free? In other words, is man's future determined by the random and mindless process of time, matter, chance, evolution, over which he has no control, or has he been given the freedom to choose a path that determines his destiny? And the principal speaker was the secular genius, Stephen Hawking. This is the man who spoke with, when he spoke, scientists and philosophers listened. Severely impaired by Lou Gehrig's disease, he spoke through a speech synthesizer. In the closing moments of his talk, he presented his conclusion. Quote, is man determined? Yes. But since we do not know what is determined, he may as well not be. End quote. What does that mean? Even his audience in Cambridge University, all these intellectuals, they were disappointed. He hadn't added anything to the proposition. He couldn't give light to the question of humanity's long-term survival or if there's any hope for our species. And then he closed with this. However, if we can keep from destroying each other for the next 100 years, sufficient technology will have been discovered and developed to distribute humanity to various planets. And then no one tragedy or atrocity will eradicate us all at the same time, end quote. By the way, he died in 2018. So the world's smartest man, who isn't with us anymore, says mankind's only hope from his violent evolutionary roller coaster ride to destruction is to be found in his machines. For those who cannot live without God, the answer of life's questions, uncertainty, pain, suffering, and even death is technology? So that's it? That's humanity's best shot? Get in a spaceship and fly away, beam me up, Scotty. But I detect a little bit of plagiarism. God has already come up with this solution. There's a wonderful old country gospel song that says, some glad morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. That's based on Psalm 90 or 91. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to a land on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. Humanity's savior is not machines. It's a person. And his story can be told in 7 verses and 130 words. And I direct your attention to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. I'll give some of you without the sermon notes an opportunity to turn there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Verse 5, Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He came to earth. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the heaven, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. The answer to man's destiny and his freedom to choose that destiny is not found in man's sophisticated inventions. God's plan is old technology. Old technology. Man's destiny was nailed to two rough-hewn pieces of wood. The answer to life's questions, complexity, perplexity, anxiety, is found at the cross. It's in the cross of Christ that God says to man, that's where you ought to be. Jesus, my son, hangs there in your stead. His tragedy is the tragedy of your life. You're the rebel who should be hanged on the gallows, but rather, I suffer instead of you and because of you. Because I love you in spite of what you are and have become. My love for you is so great that I meet you there on the cross. You're not flying away with a machine. The difference between man's vision of your future and God's vision of your future is the cross. Late apologist Dr. Ravi Zacharias writes this: when a man lives apart from God, chaos is the norm. When man lives with God, as revealed in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the hungers of the mind and the heart find their fulfillment. Man can neither live without God, nor should, I submit, should he die without Christ. The choice is yours. You have been given the freedom to choose between life and death in eternity. You have been given the choice to decide whom you will follow. You're following somebody. Every one of us is listening to voices, and we're listening to those voices, and we're accepting in many cases what they say. What direction are they leading us? Who is beating the drum that our country is following? Why is our country moving toward a secular society, an atheistic society? Because people are listening to voices that are filling their heads with lies. The truth is, the absolute truth is, as Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Which way will you go? There are people in your life who have not made that decision for Christ. At this moment, a decision not to decide is a decision. That's a decision against following Christ. We need to pray. We need to hold up those we love in prayer. We can't shove Jesus down their throat, and we shouldn't try. We should live it and present it. Our words should carry the weight of our example and our behavior and our demeanor. A closing story. Again, choose. Rose Maria von Trapp. She's one of the famous Sound of Music children. And she has this to say about her famous parents, Baron George and Maria von Trapp, who fled Nazi-occupied Austria instead of cooperating with the Nazis. You remember the Sound of Music movie, right? Here's what she says. Only yesterday, I talked to high school students, sophomores, who were doing research papers on the Holocaust of Hitler in Germany. They wanted me to talk about the Nazis. I told them that Hitler gives us a symbol of a cross with hooks in it, but our Christian faith gives us a symbol of a cross that brings freedom and resurrection. The world, you know, offers us a glossy cross with hooks in it. My father and my mother had to make a choice. They chose the cross of Jesus Christ. What will you choose? What have you chosen? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Why would I be week after week after week filled with that verse, with those thoughts, with those words? Because I just feel that we need to reach people for Christ And that's a burning desire that should be in our heart. So choose wisely, choose well, follow Christ, lead a life that exemplifies that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can't live a life without God. And neither can the people in your sphere of influence. May God bless you as you live the life, you pray the prayers, and when given the opportunity, when God makes a divine appointment, you walk through the door of sharing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to come together, even like this, over the phone. I thank you for those who are listening at a distance. I pray that they would have been blessed this morning. I thank you that we can all be together, gathered around the places in our home where we're safe, where we're comfortable. But Lord, when it comes to hearing a message, I pray that it's not comfortable. I pray the message alone makes us uncomfortable, and it pushes us to a place where we're willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ to those around us. Bless my brothers and sisters listening this morning. Encourage them. Help them to keep on keeping on. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Talk to you Wednesday night. Bible study. Bye-bye.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.